Hello and welcome to season 5, episode 4 of Brody's Sports Talk. My name is Derek Rusnick, and I'm going to be your humble host. Well, I don't know, humble is a word for it. Not quite so humble host for our AFC East preview this week. And for those uninitiated out there, those teams are going to be the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, the New England Patriots, and the J-E-T-S, Jets, New York Jets. So I am joined, as always, by the smartest man to ever step in front of a microphone. That's Caleb Wilkin. Caleb, how you been? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Derek. It is a fun division. It is a fun time. We've got three teams that like to wear blue. And the Jets. And
it's true.
I mean, if you call whatever the Dolphins wear blue. But yeah, basically, it's going to be a good time. We've got a lot to discuss. Competitive division, I think. And I think that I'm going to have some things that are going to surprise you. So
I cannot
wait. It's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, no. I when I was doing some research for this this one, I was like, yeah, this is quite a tight division to me, as there are enough changes and enough like upsides that I'm like, I could take anyone probably and probably right or wrong. So if you didn't listen to the last time we did this, shame on you, go back and listen to it. But we have a couple of different subject matters. So we have some arrivals and departures for each of the teams. We take the over-under on their win total. We look at any awards that could come out of the division. So like most valuable player or rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, stuff like that. And then we each take a game that we think is going to be the key matchup for their season that's going to make or break them on where we think they're going to land this year. So we start with the Buffalo Bills. We start at the B's, and then we go to the M's, and then we start going through the N's. So we start with the Buffalo Bills. There's two B's there. And so what I have here for them arrivals, they have the number 25 overall pick, a tight end out of Utah State by the name of Dalton Kincaid. Love the pick. I love what he does. I thought it was a really good pick in the first round. And then at pick 59, which is their second round pick, that's going to be the guard Osiris Torrance. Now, everyone, I want you to repeat after me, Osiris Torrance. It's going to make you smile just saying his name. On the free agency side, we have Connor McGovern, a guard, came over from Dallas. So, Caleb, I'm tossing it over to you. Do you have any thoughts on their drafting strategy and or any of the free agency stuff that came over to the Buffalo Bills?
I like that they're working on their offensive line and trying to get better at the guards. The Bills have been a team that could pass pretty much wherever they want, but outside of Josh Allen, they have not had a solid running game, despite the fact that they've invested several picks there in the last few years. But there's no more Zach Moss. There's no more Devin Singletary. It's time to see what happens with that running game. And I kind of, like you've said, sometimes it's more about those big dudes up front than it is the guy in the back.
So if you listen to it, or actually when you listen to our episode a couple of days ago, we talked about the running back market and where we think it's currently at in the NFL. I think if there's anywhere a market should be set up, it's definitely in Buffalo. Or like, we need to get a Dalvin Cook or a Zeke or something, someone who knows how to run the ball so that Josh Allen can take a play or two off each game. Just, you know, get him someone who can help him.
So got Dalvin's brother, so it's basically the same thing.
You got to cook. Let the cooks cook, I guess. So we look at the departures for the Buffalo Bills, and not big names that left elsewhere. But we have Tremaine Edmonds, their inside linebacker. He went over to Chicago. And a name that has been heard a lot, and one of my favorite people out there in the NFL, because he's so good with the clipboard, and that's Case Keenum, the backup quarterback. He headed off to Houston. Now, I get a big laugh out of Caleb every time I talk about Case Keenum, because the dude is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. There is a specialized area of what backup quarterbacks do, because normally you have like an ego, basically, and you have this guy like, I'm going to throw the ball over the field, I'm going to get 500 yards and 9 touchdowns and all this kind of stuff. And then you have the guy that's like, okay, here's how we prepare. Here's what the offense looks like. Here's what our passing game looks like. And that's usually the backup quarterback. Case Keenum can come in and he can keep a game going. He can run an offense. He's ran several dozen offenses, I think, in the NFL, because he just hops around from team to team. And he always seems to have a team out there. He's going back to Houston, where he played college ball, the same town at least, the Houston Texans, and he played at the University of Houston. So, you know, maybe he hops over there to the new Big 12 school that and gives them some words of encouragement or consoles them after Oklahoma State beats them. Either way. For me, Tremaine Edmonds, probably a bigger loss for this defense. But, what do you think, Caleb? Do you have anyone to add to the departures that you wanted to highlight?
I was just double-checking, and Case Keenum actually started his NFL career with the Houston Texans as well.
Yeah.
Texans, Rams, Vikings, Broncos, team known as the Commanders currently, Browns, and Bills.
Yeah.
Sorry, knows trying not to get say the wrong things here. I think it's exciting. I think that in general they didn't like Tremaine Edmonds is gonna hurt. Like you can't lose that much production and not have it hurt. But I also know they already had Terrell Bernard in the building. They already have Matt Milano. I think that they have some people that they trust to be able to come in and play linebacker. I think the Bills are going to end up being okay, but you still don't love it. Not when you have someone who could have been a star and now you have decent guys.
Yeah, no, you're right on the point there. So let's go ahead and move on to our over-under wins. Caleb, can you tell me where we got our numbers from for the over-under?
We went ahead and went down Pat McAfee Boulevard and got these from FanDuel.
Pat McAfee Boulevard. I actually tried to talk my wife into going to Indianapolis for a vacation just so I can go by the Thunderdome. But, let's look at, so the number that we have is 10.5 wins for the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to toss it over to you first, Caleb. What is, are you saying over 10.5 wins or under 10.5 wins?
I'm going to go ahead and go over. I've been pretty high on the Bills the last few years. I think that until someone takes the division away from them, I'm going to project them to win. 17 games, I just have to see 11-6.
Yeah.
That's not even winning 2/3 of your games. I think they could easily be a 12 or 13 win team, be one of those teams that's competing for home field advantage. So give me the over on the Buffalo Bills at 10.5.
Yeah, okay. So I'm looking at their schedule currently, and I can only find five games on their schedules that I would say, hey, this might be a tough game. So we're looking at like, a Patriots game. They have the Eagles and they have the Chiefs. And they have the Cowboys. Depending on how the Cowboys look, you know, that could be something. And just to have this this division shakes out, I'm not seeing a lot of games that I think they're going to lose. So I'm going to take the over for the Buffalo Bills, as I think that, you know, easily 11 wins. Because even if they lose to the teams that I think they could lose to, it still puts them at, 12 or 13 wins. So I think that's easy money there.
I like it.
Yeah, so let's look at next, our division awards. So for me, I've got three names up here. So first and foremost, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Dalton Kincaid. We talked about him earlier in the arrival section. I think he's a really good tight end. And, there's a couple of quarterbacks at the top of the draft, top of the rookies, probably going to get a lot of love, but maybe they split more of the vote. I think Dalton Kincaid could be a really, he's going to be one of those guys. I think this is pure opinion that people are going to look back at the end of the year and be like, oh, he's a rookie. I thought he, has been in the league 3 or 4 years because of his poise and what he's going to add to this offense, because he's not going to be the center point of the offense with Diggs there and Josh Allen. And then, of course, I just said it. I think Stephon Diggs could be Offensive Player of the Year. I think that he's gonna have a bunch of yards. And then with Josh Allen, I think you go MVP. He's been on the cusp before. I think he's been right there with the other three major quarterbacks, if you consider a former Packer. And he's right there. And I think if he takes even one step forward, he's right there in the MVP race. Caleb, did I take every one of your picks there? Do you have someone that you want to add for a award?
I do have someone I'm going to bring up for an award.
Cool.
Previously at Brody Sports Talk, we've said that the Comeback Player of the Year award should be named after Alex Smith. What he did coming back with that gruesome leg injury for the team known as the Commanders currently, and just being able to rehab and being able to get on the field again was huge. There's a story on the Buffalo Bills that would be able to top that and potentially get the award named after him, and that would be DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, yeah.
I think if DeMar Hamlin plays and is effective in any way, he's Comeback Player of the Year. It's a movie that writes itself. It's a narrative I'm sure the media would run with. That's where I'm going, just because I feel like it could be overlooked, but I don't think that it will be overlooked when the votes come in if he's on the field. Overcoming what he has done since, what was it, January? It's been a lot, and I'm proud of him. The fact that he's doing football drills and everything, and he didn't just say, I'm just gonna call this, is huge. But give me DeMar Hamlin for Comeback Player of the Year.
That's a really good point, because you are right. There's going to be a media-driven, if he does anything this year, plays up to. I mean, I think he's got the skill that he could definitely, if he steps in, could be the that Comeback Player of the Year. I want to toss it over to you for the last one here. What do you think is their key matchup this year on their schedule, Caleb?
So for their key matchup, I'm going to go with one that I think is actually a bit of a sleeper. I don't know that this is one that I think everyone would have, but after they've gone to London in week 5 to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're going to come back and they're going to be in prime time. Sunday Night Football against the New York Football Giants, a team that I think they are better than, a team that I think they need to show up well against. But it is the return of Brian Daboll to Bills Mafia. You know, how do, you know, they've coached defensive plays against Daboll for years. Can they stop him? Daboll has called plays for Josh Allen before. Can he stop Josh Allen? What happens when you have the former coach going up against McDermott and this coaching staff of the Bills? I'm circling it. I think that while I can't dub it the Battle for New York because the Giants play in New Jersey, it is one of those games where I go, I can learn a lot more than I think that I should be able to because of familiarity these two teams have with each other. So that's why week 6, October 15th, hosting the New York Football Giants is my key matchup for the Buffalo Bills.
That's a really good one. For me, this is going to be week 17, home versus the New York Patriots. New England Patriots.
I got you confused with all my New York references.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry, Bills fans. So they're the only team that plays in New York. So the game is going to be played in New York. How about I say it that way? So it's going to be a New York game versus New England Patriots. This is the second to last game of the season. And if the Patriots, and we'll talk about them a little bit later on, if the Patriots are who a lot of people think they could be, then this is going to be for the division. And so, you know, this is going to be that key matchup of whether or not you get the number 2, number 3 seed or the number 5 seed, where you're playing at home in the playoffs or playing on the road. So for me, I think that this game is that key matchup that I'm looking forward to. Any final thoughts on the Bills before we move on?
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
There you go.
To the next team.
Yeah, so after B's come the M's, because we go in alphabetical order. And so that's Miami Dolphins. So this is a really fun team, in my personal opinion. I love their coach. I love a certain receiver that they have on their team who used to play in Orange. And I really want to see the Miami Dolphins get back into prominence, let's say. So this year, for their arrivals, I have a couple of guys here. They picked up a cornerback in Cam Smith at the 51st pick and signed Isaiah Wynn, the tackle from the New England Patriots. And you're probably, you know, throughout this this entire podcast, you're probably going to hear a bunch of this team in the AFC East. This player came from another team in the AFC East. Because as I was going through this, there's a lot of, like, you just switch teams in the AFC East. Like, a lot of people came from the Patriots or the Jets or the Miami. They just went to a different AFC East team. Maybe they like those stadiums. I don't know. But, the arrivals, they got a really good cornerback and they got a really good tackle. So those are my two. Caleb, do you have anything to add, or do you want to comment on new players they have on their team?
So if we're going to talk about new players, oddly enough, I'm going to your favorite position, the backup quarterback, and I'm going to talk about Mike White coming in. You know, there's no Teddy Two Gloves. Granted, Teddy Two Gloves hardly could stay on the field last year as Tua Tagovailoa's backup. And we had Skylar Thompson season a few times last year. I would love for Tua to play 17 games this year. So don't get me wrong. I want him to be healthy. I want him to avoid head injuries. I want what is best. But Mike White may end up playing games, and you have to be aware of that, because anything that we're talking about with awards or over-unders. Well, is Tua the quarterback? Or is Mike White or Skylar Thompson the quarterback? How you feel about the team is going to be very different, in my opinion, if we don't have Tua time.
Yeah, no, I definitely, I have Mike White elsewhere in our podcast today, but that is a really good pickup for them, as Mike White is a pretty good quarterback and definitely a really good backup guy who can come in for a few games when your quarterback's head hits the turf a couple of times. So we go from guys who came to the Dolphins to those who were out to sea and left the Dolphins. I don't even know what dance to call that, because he attempted, but Mike Gesicki, the tight end, just does. He is the biggest guy that tried to do Never mind, I just lost my train of thought. So he went from the Dolphins. He went up to the Patriots. And, once again, one of those stay within the division. And the one I want to highlight the most, and this is an underrated position, as I think it certainly helps offenses and defenses, but the Dolphins lost one of the best punters out there, and that's Thomas Morstead. He went to the Jets, and I think that anyone who can flip the field for your defense like Morstead can is certainly someone that you need to have around. And I think a really good punter is very, you don't need it until you need it, and you will be glad that you have it when you need it. So that's my departures for the Dolphins. Caleb, anyone that you want to add or anyone that you want to comment on?
I mean, I think my comments are probably in the same area at tight end. Gesicki's not there. And I see just a bunch of, who are those guys in that tight end room? Mm-hmm. The tight ends are becoming more and more common. You probably want someone who you feel comfortable dumping it off to, especially with a quarterback that has had some injury issues. But you feel very confident on the outside. But if I'm looking at Durham Smythe being your starting tight end, I'm not excited.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that one. I don't even know what that name is. I looked at the depth chart and I did not know that person even existed. So maybe I need to stretch out my depth chart a little bit and look into it. So we move over to the over-under wins. And this number is one of the harder ones for me because it has them down at 9.5. So we're talking about at least a 10-7 season for the Dolphins. And, you know, I think they could probably do that. But at the same time, I could easily see them have a 8-9 team. I could easily see them have a 5-12. It really depends on how healthy Tua is going to be and if he stays healthy the entire year. So it's kind of a coin flip for me when it comes to 9.5 wins. And unfortunately, I'm going to land on tails, and I'm going to say under 9.5 wins with the Dolphins, as I love Tua. I mean, I think he's an amazing quarterback, and I think he's an amazing, story and a great leader on the football field. But the Sharks on the defensive side smell blood in the water, and they know how to get to your team. And honestly, I think that you're going to just have a rough time of it. And so I'm going to say under 9.5 wins. I'm not going to say too many, too low, but I think it's going to be an eight or nine win team, and they're just not going to get to that double digits. Caleb, throw it over to you.
I am in agreement, Derek. I'm going to smash the under on this one. tough divisional opponents that they get this year. They have to go and play all the NFC East teams, which we just talked about last week, which I feel a little bit more bullish about those teams. And then they have to play the AFC West, and that's not a division you want to play against. So it's messy. It's messy when you get those teams. I think there's a lot more aspirations for some of the teams in those divisions, a lot of potential playoff teams. And I just don't see the same wins that they got last year. You know, I think it's going to be a struggle for Miami, and I don't think that I see them getting all the way to 10. It's too many.
Okay, stop for a second. Did you make that pun on purpose, or did that you accidentally walk into that?
Which one?
Things are going to get messy in Miami.
No, I totally did do that on purpose. Thank you, Major League Soccer. Totally Major League random Soccer, reference.
Messi came over to the Miami. I stopped.
I did not do that on purpose. I wish I would have.
Yeah, that is very good. Very good job. So with that, I'm going to toss it over to you first for division awards for their players. Is there anyone that you see could take home some hardware?
Well, I know that Tyreek Hill has come out already and said he thinks he's going to get 2,000 receiving yards this year. I've already said a lot of my hesitancy in going with the offensive side of the ball, so I'm going to stay away from it. I think if we're going to see something happen, it is going to be on the defensive side of the ball with either Bradley Chubb or Jalen Ramsey putting himself in contention for defensive player of the year. I do think in general, Jalen Ramsey has this thing where the first year he's on a defense, he shows up really well. And then he doesn't always do that in the following years. But it will be his first year in Miami this year as they got him in the trade from the Rams. But feast or famine, that's how Jalen Ramsey is. If he's good, he's going to look dang good. If he's not good, Aaron Rodgers is going to be doing the championship belt while Ramsey's out of bounds or something.
That's a really good point. I'm going to be a little bit more upbeat with this team, as I do think Tyreek Hill could win Offensive Player of the Year, because honestly, if you have three or four different quarterbacks throwing the ball to you and you still put up a bunch of yards, you know, I think you could win Offensive Player of the Year. But I'm going to go a little bit of a homer pick here and jump over to the other side of the ball and say that Defensive Player of the Year could be Bradley Chubb, former Bronco who came over to the Dolphins. Really good pass rusher. You know, I don't know if he plays linebacker or defensive end, because that position is kind of just like hard to define. But he likes to sack the quarterback. And yeah, if he has a really good year, he could, he could really put up some numbers. I mean, we could go with Emmanuel Ogba, who is also in Miami. I think he does a really good job as well. But, you know, I'm a homer for him because he played at Oklahoma State. So for me, when Chubb was in Denver, I was really excited about him, and I think he's going to flourish in Miami. And so I'm going to keep an outside chance that he could win Defensive Player of the Year.
Derek, I know that Oklahoma State is America's brightest orange. Do you think that when Miami chooses to wear them, that their orange is the NFL's brightest orange?
No, there's a very bright orange a mile up in the air. And Broncos country, let's ride.
One, I was able to hype Oklahoma State, and I was able to let you get a Broncos reference in. So yeah, I'm counting up as two wins for me.
We just need to clip this Miami Dolphins section here, and just Caleb's having a good section. Definitely like a unintentional soccer joke in the middle of a, I didn't know even that was happening. Just great. So let's look at a key matchup. And for me, this is going to be week 9 headed to Kansas City. So it's not just the Kansas City Chiefs they're playing. It's going to be, there is a game at Philly 3 weeks before that. They have a home versus New England. No, yeah, I'm sorry. I had this mixed up. So 2 weeks before this game, they have games at Philly, then home to New England, then this Kansas City Chiefs, and then they have their bye. So, you know, sometimes teams like to look forward to that, you know, look ahead, okay? But right before their bye, they have some really tough games. So if they can go into their bye with a 2-1 out of those three games, it really does show the Dolphins are doing something, and it could be a toss-up between any of them for, you know, you, let's say you take home the Pats and you take home the Philly one, you lose to the Kansas City, you're probably still feeling good out of that three-game stretch. So, Caleb, what's your key matchup?
I do want to just clarify that Kansas City matchup is their London game, Germany. Yeah. Like, where it's international. I know that it's international. I think it might be a Germany game, but so that also throws a little bit of a wrinkle in it for Miami. Because I remember all of the Chiefs fans were like, Tyreek Hill doesn't even have to come back here, and they were a little let down by that. But I'm going to go ahead and go with one of the games that's a first of its kind. You know, I don't know what you like to do, Derek, but Thanksgiving, you watch the Macy's parade, you watch some football, and then on Black Friday, you might get up, go get some deals, and then you come back and enjoy some football. They're going to be at New York playing the Jets on Black Friday. It's a Prime Video game. It's the first Black Friday NFL game. You don't get more eyes on you than holiday and the only game on the, like, for the day. Like, I think it's going to be a beautiful game, and I think that it is going to be one that Miami's going to have to come out and be fierce, because they will have already had both of their New England matchups, but this is their first matchup against the Jets. And if they're going to have any chance of clearing that 9.5 win threshold, I do think they have to find a way to take one or both of the games against the Jets. So I think that's what I'm calling a key matchup for them there in week 12.
There you go. Really good point there. And any closing thoughts for the Dolphins? Can you speak dolphin at all? Okay. Whoa. We can't use that kind of language. This is a family-friendly podcast.
My apologies.
Okay. To all of our Dolphin listeners, it's my sincere apologies for having to hear that. I can just see the little Dolphin moms putting their flippers over Dolphin kids while they're in the car listening to Brody Sports Talk. I cannot believe you would talk that way, Caleb. Let's move on to the New England Patriots. I'm flabbergasted now. So let's look at some arrivals. So for me, the biggest pickup that I see in the entirety of the division is the Patriots getting Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback, at pick 17. This guy is going to be absolutely amazing in the NFL. I do not have the words to praise him enough. And then we have not a player, but a coach. They finally got a true OC in New England with Bill O'Brien coming back. And then Juju Smith-Schuster coming over from Kansas City. And that wonderful Mike Gesicki, tight end that we talked about leaving Miami. We know that Patriots know how to use tight ends, and hopefully he can fit in pretty well in the tight end room. Caleb, do you have any rivals you want to talk about, or anyone on the list that I gave out here that you think is going to make a big impact for the Patriots?
I think in general, it is going to be a beautiful time for TikTok in the New England area as Juju Smith-Schuster gets up there and he starts creating the new dance waves up in the Boston area, because maybe I should put some more respect on that. That is Super Bowl champion Juju Smith-Schuster coming in and joining this roster. I think that he learned a lot of different ways that he can impact the game under Andy Reid. And I'm curious to see if Bill O'Brien has enough to be able to just keep that momentum going. Most of the pass catchers on this team I look at and I go, I'm not super excited by these names. Juju, I get hyped for him. And I want to see if Mac can actually get the ball out to him.
See, that's another player that I really like. I like Mac Jones. I think that he just has not been given a fair shake. And I don't think he can win Comeback Player of the Year this year, because he's not really been like an injury or anything like that. Just, I mean, can you win Comeback Player of the Year due to malfeasance or like bad coaching?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. We haven't got there yet, but so let's talk about the departures. And a couple of, we've talked about it on this podcast plenty of times, but the most important position to me, backup quarterback. So Brian Hoyer, who has had more time with the Patriots than Thomas Jefferson, is leaving New England, going to Las Vegas to back up a friend of his in Jimmy Garoppolo, as they both played for the Patriots back in the day. And then Jacoby Myers, a wide receiver, is also headed over to the Raiders. That just tastes bad in my mouth to say that that team. So Brian Hoyer knows the offense. He's played in that offense a couple of different times with Josh McDaniels, probably the best guy to have on your team. Is a leader he's a coach with a clipboard while still getting paid in the event they need him to play, which, Jimmy G gets hurt sometimes. So, losing Brian Hoyer, I mean, it may not be the end of the world when it comes to the Patriots in the grand scheme of things, but I think that he is a great backup quarterback to have just in your back pocket. So, Caleb, I'll toss it over to you.
Damian Harris. Ramondre Stevens, Damian Harris were the 1-2 punch at running back the past few years. And you've got Ramondre, and I have some question marks. Ty Montgomery, he's been injured, he's inconsistent. Pierre Strong, I don't remember them using him last year. Then we get Kevin Harris and J.J. Taylor, and I'm like, eh? If Ramondre's down, it'd be weird, but I think the Patriots might go look at a vet like Zeke or something like that, because you got to have someone that you trust with the football. And let's face it, the Patriots trust almost no one running the football, because if you fumble the ball once, you will be moved to the back of that line.
Yeah, so, good, really good point there.
Derek, I've got a good one here for the division awards. Do you mind if I pound the table? And flip it. Okay. Well, wait. My bad. I was thinking of division awards. Let's go to the over under. Okay. I'll tease it. I just went for a stab at division awards.
We're gonna have a really hot take in just about 3 minutes, folks. So over under, the number is 7.5. And for me, this is an easy over, as I think having a better offense is going to change the Patriots. I think that having the coaching staff back together, having a proper OC, and Mac Jones is really going to do it. So I'm going to say 8 or 9 wins at least. So they're going to go over the 7.5. Caleb, what about you?
I am going to surprise you, Derek. I'm going under. I think that the Patriots, while I normally don't count against them because they find ways to win, I just don't see them getting enough wins. I think they stumble out the gate a little bit. Granted, they do have their first match against Philly, which is not an easy team to play. And I just see them as fourth best in the division. And I think that that gets them around 6 or 7 wins at best. Mm-hmm. And getting swept by the AFC West.
There you go. That works. Now we have, we've gotten past it. We've got those silly guesstimations out. Tell me your hot take for division award.
So we brought this guy up a little bit when we were talking about the Brody 50 mm-hmm. back during the earlier part of the summer. But I cannot get enough of and cannot stop beating the table for Matthew Judon. I think.
Oh, my goodness. You
Matthew Judon for Defensive Player of the Year. I'm starting the campaign. I'm starting the campaign. It sounds like I might have a second on this campaign immediately afterwards, but I just feel so convicted that Matt Judon does not get enough respect and that people think it's like the Belichick defensive system. No, Matt Judon went out there and sacked people a bunch. So Matt Judon, Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, Caleb. We're not going to play around. So going through my notes earlier, I'm just like, okay, what division awards can we spread across these teams? And the first thing I think of like having all of these is Matthew Judon as Defensive Player of the Year. Like literally the same exact thoughts. This is why we do a podcast together, is because we have similar thoughts. Matthew Judon is underrated, and he is going to come out. And I really do think that if there's anyone that's going to win Defensive Player of the Year out of this group, it is him, or there's someone else that we'll talk about in a second that probably doesn't get the love. I'm on my other one is going to be Christian Gonzalez. We talked about him earlier. He could be Defensive Rookie of the Year. Cornerbacks do a really good job in this division, and I really think that he is going to be a difference maker. So I'm putting him on there as well. I want to give a digital high five to you, Caleb, because that was a fun little hot take that I cannot believe that we had the same answer. Because I really do think that you looked over to my paper on the test, and the teacher didn't catch us cheating. So now that we've had our little fun, let's talk about some key matchups. I want to toss it over to you first, Caleb, as what is your key matchup for the Patriots?
Patriots have a odd schedule this year, and it's tough for me to really look and go, ooh, I need to single out that game, or yeah, I need to really look at this one. But in general, I think if they are winning the games that Derek is seeing them win, one of the games that they're going to have to find ways to win on a short window is their Thursday night game in week 14 at Pittsburgh. I think that if you think that they can go over 7.5, I know I'm not huge on it. I think that Patriots Steelers is a potential wild card berth. And let's face it, there are the two type of teams that are like, oh, you think you're going to get to 500? No, I'm going to get above 500. Like, they are fiercely If they're not great, they're good. And one of them has to get the win. It's on the road. I think that if you want to go over 7.5, Bill Belichick's going to have to find a way to steal one from the Steelers. That was pun intended. And not
there you go. Really great point there. I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to go to week 16 at the Broncos. So this game is sandwiched between the home game versus Kansas City and going to the Bills. So that middle game could be a trap game as they're looking forward past the Broncos and looking at the Buffalo Bills, where they could get tripped up and having a good game versus Kansas City and expecting to go to Buffalo, that Broncos, they come to the up mile high and the Broncos put it on them. So I think that's going to be a really big game that you circle it on the calendar, not just because the Broncos are the best, but because this could show the real coaching style of the Patriots.
I mean, let's face it as well. That's the night before Christmas. Santa Claus may need some Broncos. You know, he may need to trade out the reindeer for Broncos on the way around, because the Broncos just might be crushing things. So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out.
Let's hope. I need the Broncos to be better than they were last year. They have so much talent that I'm like, why can't you do something? But that's for a few weeks from now. Let's talk about the New York Jets, Jets. So for the Jets, this is perfect because arrivals, someone got their passport out. And so the arrivals, the number 15 pick in the draft, Will McDonald IV. Caleb, do you happen to know what team they traded for that pick?
I believe they traded with the Packers. They traded down.
Oh, so you agreed to this pick as you are the owner of the Packers. So, on pick 43, they had Joe Tippmann, a center. Lineman needed some love. And then there's a couple of guys that they picked up. And it's, they technically have two bodies, but these two guys just seem to be seen everywhere together. So I'm just going to put them together as this is an Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb receiver thing, because think they're in Green Bay together, they're in New York together, like, huh. And then, like we talked about earlier, they picked up Thomas Morstead, the punter from Miami, as I think that just upgrades their special teams unit. Caleb, you know most of these guys because they used to play for your team, but tell me about any arrivals that you have, or the Lazard Cobb situation.
So I could also bring up that they brought in one of Mr. Aaron Rodgers' kneel down friends himself, Tim Boyle, to come in and be the backup to Zach Wilson, because Boyle was a third stringer previously for the Packers. But let's go ahead and talk about the most controversial person that they brought in, Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett is a addition, arrival. I don't know that he's a key arrival, but he is got a lot of keys and he's got a lot of responsibility because he's supposed to call offensive plays. The last time he did that, was in, I believe, it wasn't week 15 because he gave up play calling duties at some point across the year because things were just going that badly in Denver. Hackett is there. He is the play caller. Bob Saleh is not going to call plays instead of him. It's Hackett or bust. And I don't know that I want all of my eggs in the Hackett tree, but it's definitely something that the Jets are attempting. So while I do think the Cobb Lazard platter, it's okay. I like it. Lazard is a great run blocker as well. So I think if you see some screens going Lazard's way, Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Zonovan Knight, those guys might be able to bust a move and get down the field. But it's really Hackett's world, and we're all living in it.
Yeah, that's a good note for an arrival, as I'm glad he's out of Denver. So, as we talked about before, a key departure, Mike White, the quarterback, went down to Miami. Following him down there is Braxton Berrios, a wide receiver. Of course, they had to make room for that great pass-catching duo, Allen Lazard, Randall Cobb, and a culture guy down there, Braxton Berrios, one of the guys that you always like, you're looking for on the Jets, and I hope he gets a fresh start down with the Dolphins.
Absolutely. I do think in general, it's a lot of the same that they're bringing back in. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how do things look and feel with Bob Sala here in this new year. And they do happen to bring in this Aaron Rodgers guy.
Oh yeah, no, that's certainly a good arrival for them. I was hoping that you would take it rather than having to be to do that.
Slightly petty, my bad.
Yeah, a little bit. So yeah, former Green Bay quarterback, four-time MVP. They bring Aaron Rodgers onto the team. So the over-under number for the Jets is 9.5. And I'm going to take this at first. I'm going to say the Jets are going to go over their win total. I don't know how, but I am not going to ever bet against Nathaniel Hackett. No, I mean Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he wills his team a lot of the way, and he's going to find a way to get to 10-7 at least.
I'm looking at all this. I can't believe we forgot to mention Mecole Hardman in all of this too, coming in from Kansas City. Just so much changing, especially on that offensive side of the ball. I'm going over 9.5 as well. I think that the quarterback play was bad. Really bad. Zach Wilson looked like he had no idea what he was doing on the football field at times last year. And I don't know that I think Aaron is the best person to mentor him. I don't know if Aaron's going to introduce him to ayahuasca, and potentially Zach Wilson's mind will be enlightened or delightened more. But I do think it's going to be over 9.5 wins for those J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah, really great stuff there. They're gonna figure it out. I like Bob Sala's defense, and just having an adult in the room when it comes to the offense, I think it's gonna be fun. So, speaking of that Aaron Rodgers guy, I'm gonna put him down as an MVP candidate. He's won a couple of them, and I think he could win another one if he really just shows out with the Jets. Another is Breece Hall, a comeback player of the year, as I think he's going to be the future of the Jets. I mean, he's not going to get paid as a running back, as we all know from a couple of days ago, but I think he's really a really good back, and I think he has a shot at comeback player of the year. And then Sauce Gardner, defensive player of the year, as I think that in this defensive scheme, he's just the perfect matchup for the perfect player for that scheme. Caleb, what do you think?
I think all of those are very realistic and have a lot of potential. But I'm going to go with one that I think Derek's going to love to hear me say. Joe Tippmann, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think if the Jets put up some big wins and Rodgers is staying upright, getting those touchdowns and interception ratio looking good, in that MVP discussion, they're going to say, wow, this center is doing all this for the first time. He's a kid from Wisconsin. Clearly, he grew up loving Aaron Rodgers. True. And Offensive Rookie of the Year, Joe Tippmann. I mean, I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Wasn't like Creed Humphrey third in the voting? So, I mean, there's at least chance that Joe Tippmann can get votes. So I'm going to put it out there. Joe Tippmann, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay. I love it. I want it to happen, but I don't see it happening. Creed Humphrey should have won Rookie of the Year. I'm a huge Creed fan. Okay, so key matchup for the Jets. I'm going to say Week 11 at Buffalo. So this is a November game in New York. This could be the handing over of a torch from one generation to the next. So if you have Josh Allen and you have Aaron Rodgers there, you know, a real gunslinger who never seems to get players that he needs, and also Aaron Rodgers. So I could see that this could be like, hey, you're the next guy along who's just going to get there, and there's always going to be somebody better. So yeah, handover of the torch from Rodgers to Allen.
I'm going with a different one, but similar thoughts. I'm looking Week 4. You were hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. You need to go out there and find a way on Sunday Night Football to show that you can go out there and get a win over the defending Super Bowl champs. It's a loaded schedule. Kansas City's coming. Philly's coming to town. Buffalo, of course, is coming and away because they're in the division. There's not a lot of easy games on this path for the Jets. They do play the Texans at one point. So that one, I think, well, I'll mark that as one easy game. But other than that, I don't have a lot of these games that I go, yep, I think the Jets clearly have this. I'm just kind of trusting that they did play well enough as a team last year, and I think that they will be better and look rejuvenated with Rodgers on offense. But you're hosting Kansas City. You got to find a way to put pressure on Mahomes, maybe get Will McDonald IV out there and let Rodgers shine.
There you go. So that wraps up our AFC East preview. It's been a lot of fun. If you have any thoughts about, you know, who we talked about here, should we start the Matthew Judon Defensive Player of the Year campaign? On Twitter, reach out to us at Brody Talk on Twitter. Our link tree, linktr.ee/Brody Talk, as that's where all of our links will be. And, you know, we're gonna push this year, as we're both in agreement for Defensive Player of the Year. If you're on your favorite podcasting platform and can leave us a review, go ahead and do that. We're a 5-star podcast. And we want to share with the world our insights and our funny jokes about Miami and Messi. And so I think, you know, go ahead and tell your friends about us. Leave us a review. And if it's a clean review, we'll read it on the air next week. So on behalf of Caleb, my name is Derek. Do me a favor and have a wonderful day.
Bye, y'all.